like to welcome you all to our evening gospel service. I trust the Lord will bless our coming together tonight in his name. Could I just, again, show our appreciation of your adherence to all the restrictions we have in the building as you come in and as you sit and as you participate in the service and then as you leave. This is all for our safety as we meet in the Lord's house. We appreciate your compliance. Baskets at the exits for your offerings. There are separate baskets today for the Missionary Council offerings. Do please remember these. And then on Monday, the Sunbeams meet from 10:30 to 11:30. And then on Tuesday evening, the children's meeting this week. Do remember that, please, at 7 o'clock to 7:45. And then those coming for the prayer meeting at 8, can you just make sure you just wait until the kids are out. And then you can come in normally 7:50 or around about that time. You'll have access to the church hall for the prayer meeting. Do remember that as we continue in the Bible study on inviting people to Christ, and then the prayer meeting as well. Do come and join us at 8 o'clock for that. Thursday night is our church committee meeting. All items for that agenda, please be in by Tuesday evening at the latest, and then followed by a Kirk session meeting also on Thursday evening. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school at 10, family worship, followed by the communion service for all who know and love the Lord. That communion service is held just in the church as well, of course, just remaining seated where you are, and then the communion service will take place. You bring your own bread and wine. There are cups available. If you haven't got one, please do avail yourself of one tonight or on Tuesday evening for the communion service. And then the family and friends night next Sunday evening at 7. And do remember that Reverend David McMillan, the minister of Armagh Free Presbyterian Church, will be the preacher at both services next Lord's Day. Reverend McMillan will also minister in song at the evening service. He will also speak at the after church youth on Sunday night. He will be speaking about missionary work. He's involved, of course, with the missionary work to do with the Free Presbyterian Church. And he will be speaking about that on next Sunday evening for youth at 8:30. Do please remember that, all young people. You speak on the challenge of missionary work across the world, and that's an important subject. So remember that next Lord's Day evening for young people. And of course, this is continuing the series of men being heard in our church, and you will understand it's already been announced about that. Sicknesses. Treatment ongoing for Mary, and remember Irene as she recovers. Remember Raymond too as he recovers, and continue to pray for these folk. We're thankful Irene was with us this morning at her service. Continue to remember Irene and also Margaret, her sister, in your prayers. Remember also our sister Helen and our brother David, who lost an aunt. Their aunt passed away just at the end of the week there. Do remember the family and pray that the Lord will give comfort and grace to that family at this time. May the Lord be their comfort. And then the LTBS calendars are available. Also Bible readings through the year with Dr. Kearns. The calendar's £350. Dr. Kearns' book, £15. All proceeds of that book go to the Deborah House in Romania. And the book on the life of the Reverend Hugh Hannah, £7.95. Put your names on the list for these, please. It's available there. And see your brother Mervyn for payments. Also, we do have cards for our brother Noel Shields, who was at the prayer meeting on Tuesday past. And he sends on his thanks for the gifts that were given towards his work. Do remember our brother Noel and his wife. And those cards are available as you leave the services tonight. I think these are all the announcements. We're going to join the singing of the hymn, Passing Onward, Quickly Passing. But I ask thee, whither bound is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? Passing onward, tell me, sinner, whither bound. And we'll keep our seats, and then, if you're able, stand for prayer, please.
Thank you.
We stand for prayer, and then immediately after that, we will come and bring her first message in song. Let us all pray, please. Gracious, loving Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We are conscious in the words of this hymn we're passing onward, quickly passing. And, O God, we've been reminded again of another one that has passed in the families of the church. And, Father, we do pray for that comfort and grace to be given to those that are left behind. And if there are any who are left behind who know not Christ, we pray that, O God, Thou wilt lead them to know and to trust the Saviour. We pray for answers to prayer for this family tonight and so many others, O God, who down through the months and even now as we are meeting together, perhaps those around about us in this village who have lost loved ones in recent days or recent times, we pray for comfort and grace for all such. We pray that Thou wilt speak those words of comfort, and we pray that Thou wilt give that grace that is needed, even at such a time as this. Lord, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the God of all grace and the God of all comfort. Remember those who have health issues have been mentioned tonight, and others even in our midst who have had issues and procedures even in past days. O Lord, we pray that Thou will continue to touch and heal and restore them to want of health and strength. We pray for good reports for those who have consultations or are waiting on consultations. We pray for a swift response even in regard to these times that are so anxious for them. We ask, Lord, that Thou will draw near, O God, to meet the needs of the congregation, to comfort and direct our congregation even into the future, Lord, as to the future days and the future ministry from this pulpit. We pray that Thou wilt guide this people and that Thou wilt direct them, O God. Men, O God, move on. But, O God, we thank Thee that Thy work continues. And, O God, we pray that Thou wouldst lead the church forward, that even better days will come. We thank Thee, O God, for what has been accomplished here in this road. We thank Thee for faithful men of God who have ministered the word. We thank Thee for those who have stood in the gap here in this place. And we pray that Thou will continue that ministry into days to come. We pray, Father, that You remember, O God, the needs of, O God, those tonight who are not saved. We pray, O God, that Thou will save them. We thank You for those saved in recent times, the prayers of years that have been answered, O God. We rejoice. And, O Lord, we pray for many more to come. Even tonight in this service, may there be some who will trust in Christ. May there be some who will take Christ as Savior and Lord and be born again of the Spirit of God. Revive Thy church. Quicken us, Lord. We need to be stirred. We need to be blessed. We need to be helped. And we pray that Thou will empower us tonight to preach Thy word and grant that we might be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Remember Thy servant who will sing, that Thou wilt help her. And we pray that as she uses her voice, that Thou wilt empower her by Thy Spirit. And we pray that Thou wilt bless those who minister on the organ and piano, that Thou wilt use them too, and all of us. You in your small corner and I in mine. Help us to be witnesses unto Thee in these days. Remember our land and our nation in all its need. People's hearts are feeling them for fear. But Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art God, Thou art in control. We pray that Thou will deliver our land and our nation at this time. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Someone slipped
that. It is no secret what God can do, and we thank God for that ministry and song. Thank Naomi for it. We'll be hearing from her later in the service. We're reading together from the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We're in this chapter last week. We're returning to it tonight, the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel and the verse 19. Let us hear the word of God. The 16th chapter of Luke and the verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into their place, into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, infallible, and inerrant word. We're joining the singing of another hymn, Keeping Our Seats. And then immediately after this, Naomi will sing her second piece. Out of Christ, without a Savior, oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? And we'll just keep our seats, as I said, and we will sing this together. strength song, may the Lord bless it to our hearts, and may you swing the heart's door wide they open tonight and let the Saviour come in. Just to mention, I'll be in Mount Merriam next Sunday, in case you think I was taking a holiday, but I'm not. I'm preaching in Mount Merriam, both services next Lord's Day, while Mr. McMillan will be here, God willing. We'll stand together, please, as we stand for prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power, thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention again to the subject of hell. Last Lord's Day evening, we're in this chapter dealing with the memory that haunted him. Son, remember. And we saw that verse here in verse 25 of Luke 16. Tonight we're speaking on the most awful place of all. The most awful place of all. Verse 23 of Luke 16. Speaking of the rich man, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. This is a dreadful place. This is an awful place. This place called hell. And many, no doubt, immediately will close their ears to such a message. They will say clearly, even some curtly, I don't want to hear such a message. You see, many just want to hear things that are pleasing to the ear. Pleasant things. Smooth and soothing things. That which doesn't prick the conscience. That which causes no fear. That which does not annoy or disturb. That which does not alert or alarm. That which does not awake the slumbering, slothful soul. People say to me often, our minister is so nice. He is lovely. He is so kind and courteous. All very good and proper. And the things that a good minister should be. But the question I asked is this. Does he preach the word? Does he preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? A friend of mine, his sister, says her minister is such a lovely man. He comes and he drinks coffee with her. And he is so caring. And I can drink coffee with you too, if you like. Or tea even. Coffee as long as it's cappuccino. Have to go for the best. But you know, friend, I must preach the word. I must preach the word. Is he a faithful preacher of the gospel? And I must discharge my responsibility as a faithful minister of the gospel this evening. For I must give account one day. For I watch for your souls as those that give account. And so tonight I'm bringing this solemn subject to you with no lightness of spirit or flippancy of speech. Neither is there any intention on my part to ravish your feelings or to fill your heart with fear unnecessarily. Although if I can accomplish this very thing, and it makes you decide for Christ tonight, I will be the last to apologize for doing so. And you will be the last to ask me to do so. For I am sure of this, that if the fear of hell brings you to Christ, it is not the fear of hell that will keep you from following Christ. It will be his love and his loveliness that will bind you to him with bonds stronger than steel itself.
I have no apology for any message I bring from my Master. I come not to discuss this subject tonight, but rather I come to declare it with all plainness of speech and fearlessness, but I trust also in love. I believe that there never was a day when this message was needed more than the day we're living. The pulpit is almost silent about it, and many even deny the existence of hell. And the average church member treats it with contempt, as if it were some outdated and antiquated fable or fancy. That's how it is, even in Northern Ireland tonight, and across the nation, and the nations of the world. But I do not preach it tonight with the desire to see you go there, but rather with the earnest desire that you might flee from the wrath which is to come. For just as sure as God has said it, hell is the destiny of every impenitent, Christ-rejecting man, woman, and young person. I'm not interested tonight in hearing what the wisest person in the world has to say about hell. I'm not interested tonight in what Darwin has to say about hell, or Dawkins has to say about hell, or some of the great intellectuals of this world. My friend, they are of no more value in their opinion than the most ignorant person in the world. I'm not here to give you what I think about hell tonight, or what the church thinks about hell, but what the Bible says about hell. And what the Lord says about hell. Because over 50 times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about hell. Far more than he ever spoke about heaven. He warned about hell. And my reason for confining it to what Jesus says about it is because it limits the range of our inquiry. It gives us also tonight great authority. The authority of heaven itself. The authority of God himself. The greatest of all wisdom. And the greatest of all knowledge about hell. Why do I want to take up this subject tonight? Well, first of all, I want to take it up for the benefit of all who are truly saved. To inform your minds tonight as Christians. To arouse us to a sense of our responsibility as God's people. And surely, if there be a spark of humanity in us, or the love of God about us, we can never be at ease for a single moment while our fellow men and women are on their way to hell. And do nothing to warn them to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. If a house were on fire in your neighborhood, and you knew that there was a burning building there, there were men and women and children in danger of such a horrible death, is there a man or a woman or a young person here tonight or listening in to this service who wouldn't do all in their power to save that family at the risk of their own lives? Not one, I'm sure. If you know, or if you knew that a boat had capsized and a number of people were drowning, which of you would not risk their life to save them or do something urgent in order to get them help, in order that they might be saved? And yet men and women and young people today on every side of us are rushing to hell. And you and I are meeting people every day, or in contact with people through the course of our lives, and as fast as their time can take them, they're not only going to physical death, but they're going to eternal death, they're going to the second death, they're going to hell. How can we sit still and do nothing to save? The worst of it is this. Not only will many who call themselves Christians do nothing to save their fellow men and women, but they will do all they can to hinder those who are trying to snatch them as brands on the burning. There are many Christians today who will criticize the methods of the faithful Bible preacher, saying it's too emotional a message, it's too sensational, etc., etc. Instead of encouraging them, they do all in their power to discourage and hinder. Oh, you can't be so harsh. You can't be so hard. Of course, we speak the truth in love. But we must speak the truth. We must speak the truth. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And so by all means we are to save some of our neighbors, some of our families. If possible, all of our families. If possible, all of our neighbors. If possible, all of our communities. General Booth, the founder and leader of the Salvation Army, said to some hundreds of his cadets, when they were graduating from his training college, he said this, and I quote, "Young man, if I had my way, I would never had you years in this training home. But I would have put you in hell for 24 hours so that you might have heard the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth and seen something of their torments. I would then have let you out and sent you into the world to warn men and women to flee from the wrath to come. I would be sure of this," said General Booth, "you would never take the work easy or treat it negligently while you were in it." There's one thing General Booth had no time for, and that was lazy workers. And I must say, friend, I have no time for lazy people. I must say that. And lazy ministers or lazy preachers. I have given every breath that I have and will continue to do it in order to preach men for Christ and to preach the gospel of Christ. No time for laziness. No time for negligence as far as the ministry is concerned. And you know, I feel the old general had it about right. Oh, if the devil can get us not to believe in the fact of hell and the reality of hell, then he knows that he has cut the nerve of our energy and effort. One tells of how he was on board a ship that lay anchored in Table Bay, Cape Town. They're waiting their turn to get into dock to discharge the cargo. And one evening after they had turned in to their bunks, they heard a cry so clear, "We're drowning! We're drowning!" There was not a man that lay on in his bed. But in moments they were all on deck to help to rescue those who were drowning. And all of them had this great intention on rescuing those drowning men, doing all that they could to help them, pulling the oars or pulling them out of the water. You suppose someone had come along and said with great eloquence and intelligence, "Those men are not in danger. It's only imaginary." Or, "They only think they're in danger." Or, "If they only knew better, or were more perfectly informed, they would not make all that fuss." Do you think these men would have done all that they did if they had believed that? Of course they wouldn't. It was because the danger was real that they did what they did to rescue them. They recognized the great danger that they were in. The hymn writer penned those words, "Rescue the perishing,
Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. My friends tonight, Christian, in this meeting, listening to this sermon tonight, hell is a reality. Christian men, women, and young people, let us be up and at it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because tonight we're in a day's march nearer home than we were yesterday. And so we need to be engaged in the work of saving people from hell, from a lost and Christless eternity. But secondly, I bring you this message tonight, not only to the saved, but to those who are not saved, who are on their way tonight to a lost eternity, that you might be awakened to your danger tonight, that you might be urged right now to flee from the wrath to come. It's awful to think that you sit in your sin tonight, and if you died for you sit in this service tonight in hell, you would lift up your eyes being in torments. And instead of singing these beautiful hymns, you would be weeping. And you would be wailing and gnashing your teeth in the flames of hell. Oh, may God, by His Spirit tonight, open your eyes to see your awful and imminent danger. There is but a step tonight between you and eternal ruin. There's but a heartbeat between you and hell tonight. That's the reality. Do you know, dear friend, there are scores in hell right now who sat where you sit, who heard as you hear. They thought, as you think just now, they never intended to be in hell. They made up their mind about that just as you're making up your mind tonight. They heard such messages as you have been hearing over the years. They said the same things that you have said about them. Some of them even laughed at the thought of hell and made fun of the preacher who told them that there was a Christless hell and a lost eternity. But there they are in hell tonight. There they are with this rich man in hell. How did they get there? Let's hear them speak to me. Let's hear the voices from hell tonight. One says, I got there because I put it off too long. Did you intend to go there? The question to another, oh no, I made up my mind. I would someday repent and believe, but I put it off too long. I procrastinated. I hesitated. I delayed. And I fear some of you will be there with these very same words on your lips. You're doing the very best thing to grieve the Spirit of God and to please the devil and damn your soul, friend. You don't need to be a drunkard or a blasphemer or an immoral person to be damned. Oh, no. All you need to do is to reject Christ. That's what you're doing now. Rejecting Christ. You see, hell is at the end of every Christ rejecter's pathway. And in hell, like this rich man, you will open your eyes, being in torments. The Bible says here, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And I beseech you tonight, don't delay a moment longer. Why should you perish? God loved sinners such as you and me. He gave his son to die upon the cross. Will you trust him now tonight? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't believe your own notions, if they're contrary to God's word, or the notions of others, however good and wise they may seem to be. But believe God's word tonight and flee from that wrath and flee to Christ for refuge now. George Whitefield, the great preacher, was preaching once on the text, the door is shut, Matthew chapter 25. And there were two flippant young males in his congregation. One was heard to say to the other in mirth, "What if the door be shut? Another will open." Mr. Whitfield said later in his sermon, "It is possible that there may be someone here who is careless and trifling and says, 'What matter if the door be shut? Another will open.'" The two young men looked at each other in alarm. Mr. Whitfield proceeded, "Yes, another door will open. It will be the door to the bottomless pit, the door to hell. It will be the door to the bottomless pit, the door to hell." My friend, this is the most awful place of all, where the rich man has opened his eyes, and multitudes others too have opened their eyes. Belshazzar opened his eyes in hell. Cain opened his eyes in hell. Judas opened his eyes in hell. So we could go on through Scripture. It's an awful place for those who refuse God's so great salvation. "How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation?" The truth is, you will not escape. But take that step of faith tonight and receive Christ and his offer of salvation. Hell is a place of torment, said Martin Lloyd-Jones. A place of suffering, a place of misery. It's a place of evil and of spite and malignity. A place of foulness and violence. A place of eternal separation from God, from hope and help and happiness forever. It's the most awful place of all. Hell. One day a man in Blackpool, England, thought he detected the smell of burning timber. And so he sat down and wrote a postcard about it to the Blackpool Fire Brigade. "Will you come to my house?" he asked. "I can smell timber burning." And they sent the postcard off in the post. When the firemen received the postcard some 24 hours later, they thought it was some kind of joke. But as they weren't busy at the time, they decided to investigate and see who this practical joker was. But when they arrived, you can picture their surprise when they found the house was already on fire. Some timbers made under the man's hearth were smouldering, and so they promptly extinguished them. He was fortunate the place wasn't burned down. Waiting 24 hours for the fire brigade to arrive. My friend, you can't afford to wait another moment, friend. You need to be saved tonight, right now. You need to be saved now. How this same attitude many people take regarding this place of everlasting burning. God gives out some terrific warnings about the awfulness of hell. You read it throughout Scripture, the certainty of eternal punishment. You can almost smell the burning when you read about it. People generally are in no hurry to escape. Just continue on their sin. Continue on the road to a lost eternity without a thought. How many people like that we know? Maybe you're like that here tonight, listening to the Word of God. You're not saved. In his famous sermon, Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," Jonathan Edwards pictures sinners dangling above a wide and bottomless pit, suspended by a fragile thread of life which could snap at any moment and dash them into the dreadful fierceness of God's fury. Seldom, if ever, do we hear sermons on the wrath of God and the judgment of sin upon sinners and men and women throughout this world are neglecting God's so great salvation. But the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. That God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Bible also says in Psalm 103, verse 9, He will not keep His anger forever. There's a day of accounting. There's a day of judgment. And that day is before you, my friend. As it was before the rich man. And now, in hell, He lift up His eyes, being in torments. The most awful place of all. You say, I feel myself on the brink of hell tonight. Oh, my friend, if that is so, just a breath away, a heartbeat away from this awful place, oh, my friend, flee to Christ now. Come to Christ now. Trust Him now as your Savior. Call upon His name tonight. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God there's salvation. You don't need to be lost. You don't need to go to this place. For Christ, through His death on the cross, has provided a way of escape for you whereby you can be saved. Will you come to the Savior now? May God help you to do that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the truth of Thy word tonight and bring souls to Christ to flee from this wrath which is to come. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're singing the hymn, O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long as He called thee in vain, He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. Hymn 232, it's on the screen. We keep our seats as we sing together. Think of the words as we sing them tonight.
Thank you. God has spoken to you tonight, do please speak with us before you leave, or hear your servant for Christ's sake, or get in touch with us. We're happy to lead you to Christ, to point you to the one who can meet your need tonight. Don't go away. Don't leave it too late. Come and trust Christ. Thank you for listening tonight. May God bless you. Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.